recorded, and a link to the recording will be posted on the NOFO webpage after the call. You can follow webinar content using the PDF version of the NOFO that's available at grants.gov, and I've also included some reference numbers throughout the presentation that you can reference the actual page numbers from the NOFO. Please mute your phone lines and speakers and submit any questions that you have in the chat box, and we'll answer the questions at the end of the presentation and also post them on the NOFO webpage. Right. So again, welcome to the informational call for potential participants. It's for NOFO DD260025, Understanding and Promoting Resources and Opportunities for People with Autism and Fragile X Syndrome and Their Families Across the Lifespan. So this portion of the call will focus on specifically on components B and C. So here's the agenda for the call. We'll have multiple members of our team discussing different parts of the NOFO. I'll first begin with a summary of the NOFO and award and eligibility information. Yes. This NOFO aims to better understand the resources and opportunities that people with autism or Fragile X syndrome and their families need in areas including education, transition into young adulthood, and services and supports. The goal is to reduce morbidity and mortality, as well as improve long-term outcomes, including health and well-being. CDC will fund three components under this NOFO. Component A focuses on autism, and components B and C will focus on Fragile X syndrome. This is a five-year cooperative agreement broken into five 12-month budget periods. There will be approximately or up to three awards for Component B and one award for Component C. Applicants may apply for all three components if they have the capacity. I will now turn it over to Mark Schweizer, who will provide a brief background and history of Fragile X research.
Good morning, everyone. So as you know, the population we're studying here and hoping to have in Component B is people with Fragile X syndrome, which is genetic disorder caused by FMR1 gene mutation, which makes the FMR protein, which is needed for brain development. It's the most prevalent known cause of inherited intellectual disabilities and the most common monogenic single gene cause of autism, about 1 in 7,000 males and 1 in 11,000 females. Of course, males have more severe symptoms because they have only one X coming from their mothers, and people with a Fragile X syndrome more often have developmental delays, learning disabilities, and a variety of social and behavioral problems compared to their peers. Fragile X syndrome has no cure. However, early diagnosis and intervention may have significant impact on the health and well-being of the people living with Fragile X syndrome. Next slide, please. So a quick history. We started with Forward initially in pilot in 2008 to 2011, developed into Forward where it included many instruments and assessment in between 2012 to 2021. And the current Forward march started in 2021 and will end in 2026 as of now. Next. So what's the purpose of Fast Forward? Information will be collected on demographics, symptoms, co-occurring conditions and service, support, and other needs and experiences of people with a Fragile X syndrome and their families. Data will guide practices to increase access to services and support and improve health and other outcomes of people with a Fragile X syndrome and their families. So the applicant must provide evidence of access to clinic-based sample of children, adolescents, and adults. The age can be between 0 and 4 years old with Fragile X syndrome follow mutation diagnosis, and demonstrability and capacity to collect data and access to clinical records on a minimum of 200 unique people with a Fragile X syndrome follow mutation diagnosis.
Our strategy of component B is to recruit a minimum of 200 unique clinic-based participants aged 0 to 40 years with Fragile X full mutation diagnosis. Data will be collected through caregiver surveys and from existing clinical records. Applicants will manage, clean, and then share de-identified data with CDC. Next slide. Awardees are expected to conduct all recruitment, enrollment, survey administration, and data collection activities in the timeframe specified by CDC. Awardees will need to establish access to contact, clinic, and genetic information. Previous participation in Forward or Forward March is not required. Awardees will confirm contact information for eligible participants, provide caregiver surveys to recruited individuals, and collect data from existing clinical records, and conduct enrollment calls to those who have not responded to survey invitations. Awardees should meet with other recipients and CDC coordinating staff regularly to ensure standardized methods are used for data collection, to discuss study progress, and to troubleshoot any problems related to study implementation. REDCap data collection system designed by CDC will be used to ensure uniform data collection. Awardees are expected to install and maintain the system by providing IT infrastructure, updating local REDCap systems, and ensuring effective user operation of the system. The caregiver survey will be programmed within REDCap and be administered using a mobile-friendly format to facilitate participant access and ease of completion. Awardees should ensure active participation with a goal of data completion for 50 participants per year. Participant incentives consistent with applicable grant regulations and guidance should be issued upon completion of surveys. Next slide. Applicants need to submit a data management plan with their application. The data management plan should be updated as needed and resubmitted to CDC for annual review. Awardees will be required to host and use our software, a free open source software for data management, provide our training for staff members if needed, and ensure local expertise for troubleshooting. Awardees should provide training on confidentiality, data collection and management procedures, and data quality assurance and control. Data access should be restricted to only investigators affiliated with FastForward. Awardees will clean the data in R using CDC-developed programs and ensure all personally identifiable information is removed. Awardees will work with CDC to facilitate data exchange. All de-identified data will be shared via secure file transfer protocol. A subset of the finalized pool data may be made available for public use, consistent with CDC policies and applicable law.
And the second strategy for Fast Forward will be to translate the data into high-quality public health products. Developing these products in a timely manner, these can be peer-reviewed publications. They could also be other products such as summary, data summaries, infographics, or professional training. The activities, performance measures, frequency that they are occurring, and the due date to start date are all found in the NOFO. In short, there are performance measures associated with each activity, so reporting on the number of participants eligible, providing the clinic demographics to aid in refining the projection for recruitment, and reporting the number of eligible participants and other metrics in consultation with CDC. And reporting the criteria that we're doing once at the beginning of the study, those updating the clinic demographic information to refine the projections will be quarterly, and reporting the number of eligible participants will be monthly. As we're collecting data, we'll be reporting monthly on key participation and completion milestones, and reporting any challenges or barriers to data collection and proposed actions to overcome those barriers monthly as well. And management of the data collected, Katie went through that in detail, but providing state of completion of confidentiality trainings will be required annually, ensuring that at least one site representative is present on all Fragile X calls monthly and participating in principal investigator calls as needed, projected to be monthly calls. Cleaning and sharing the data. While there will be local instances of the REDCap database, uploading and transferring the de-identified data via SFTP to EDC is projected to occur monthly. And completing the data cleaning and submitting the de-identified data files to CDC will occur once. For development of the public health products, each site will be expected to develop at least one public health product. Again, these can be peer-reviewed publications, professional training, summaries, infographics. And then report any type of resource needs and opportunities that can be done as needed. All right, and moving on to component C, I'll hand it off to Amy Alexander. We'll start off this portion.
All right, next slide, please. Good afternoon, everyone. Here you will see the purpose and activities for Component C, Fragile X Information Dissemination. The outcome of this part is to strengthen partnerships with organizations that support people with Fragile X syndrome and their families. Each activity is focused on different audiences. One focuses on support for families. The second focuses on support through and for healthcare providers. The activities include dissemination of knowledge gained from previously funded data collections, such as Forward March, and is separate from Component B. This outreach for Fragile X syndrome, a rare genetic disorder, is best and more efficiently achieved by an entity focused on the mission with establishing connections to the community nationwide. Clinics can be involved in the dissemination strategy, but the activities are not limited to clinics. Of note, Component C will not be involved with Component B activity management or monitoring. Next slide.
All right, and so for Component C, the primary strategy is to disseminate information to specific audiences. As Amy said, activity one will focus on disseminating the information to people with Fragile X, their families, and associated communities. And activity two will be focused on providing information to healthcare providers. And disseminating that information may include identifying priorities, gaps in information, education, and communication needs, developing or adapting programs, products, or tools for either of these focused audiences. It will include developing a dissemination plan and dissemination of the information, and evaluating continuously improving information dissemination to both audiences, and ensuring that the products are responsive to diverse audiences and communication needs. The recipient must share the information and the materials with CDC and incorporate current evidence for successful communication dissemination in all activities proposed. Applicants for Component C must demonstrate the ability and capacity to identify and reach people with Fragile X and their families and communities across the United States. They must be able to reach healthcare providers and specifically those who are treating Fragile X patients, and generate new communication materials and continually identify resources for healthcare providers treating and people with Fragile X, their families and communities. They should quantify metrics of impact, for example, tracking and reporting use of the information disseminated. And the activities, performance measures, frequencies, and duties and start dates are outlined in the NOFO. The performance measures associated with this include primarily describing the needs identified, itemizing and describing the products and the plan for creating any additional products, providing statistics and qualitative feedback if available on reach and outcomes of the information dissemination, providing any information on barriers or facilitators to information dissemination, and providing a status of all activities undertaken. The frequency will be annually for these activities.
I will now focus on submission procedures for the application. A letter of intent from potential applicants is requested but optional. This allows CDC to estimate the number of applications and plan for their review. You can send a letter of intent to myself at cbk9@cdc.gov with the following information: the NOFO number and title, your organization's name and address, a contact name, phone number, and email address, and the components for which you were planning to apply. These are the different parts of the application that you will need to submit for the project. For the project narrative, there's a limit of 20 pages, and it should include the background, approach, evaluation, and performance measurement plan, and organizational capacity. You will also need to submit a budget narrative, which is not scored, and you may submit attachments as needed. The budget narrative supports information provided in standard form 424A. It explains and justifies the costs in your budget and includes all of the categories listed here. Here are some of the budget items specific to Component B. And here are some of the items specific to Component C. And again, all of this information can be found in the NOFO. Once your application is submitted by the deadline of June 15th, the Office of Grant Services will do an initial review of all applications for eligibility and completeness. Applications that are not responsive will not advance to the next phase of review. A panel outside of our division, the Division of Human Development and Disability, will review applications using the scoring criteria outlined in the NOFO. A review is also conducted to review the risk that recipients will not manage federal funds prudently. An objective review panel will review each application and assign points for each section. The background and approach are worth 45 points total. The evaluation and performance measurement plan are worth 20 points, and the organizational capacity is worth 35 points. The next few slides provide details about how the points will be assigned within each section. For the sake of time, I won't go through these slides in detail, but you can find all of this information detailed in the NOFO. Applications will be funded in order by the rank that the review panel determines. When making funding decisions, CDC considers merit review results, as these are key, but they are not the only factor. CDC may fund applications out of rank order to ensure demographic and geographic representativeness, or based on the applicant's ability to access health participant health records or contact information. Applicants may be funded in whole or in part at a lower amount than requested, or they may be approved but not funded this fiscal year. The number of awards is subject to available funds and agency and program priorities. If awarded, CDC will email a notice of award to your authorized official. We will also notify you if your application is found not responsive or unsuccessful. Here are the key dates for the NOFO. As I mentioned earlier, the deadline for the optional letter of intent is June 1st. Applications are due before midnight on June 15th. The tentative date for awards to be issued is August 31st, and the projected start date for this project is September 30th. Here are the contacts for the NOFO. I will serve as the project officer, and Robin Bryant will serve as the grants management officer for this project. If you have any questions about submissions, please contact the grants.gov help desk. We will now spend the rest of the hour addressing any questions you have about components B and C. You can continue to submit questions in the chat box. We will also take any questions that you have after the call. You can send them to the forward@cdc.gov mailbox, and you can submit those by June 9th. And then, as I mentioned earlier, all of the questions and answers, as well as the slides and recording of this call, will be posted to the NOFO webpage listed on this website.
And the first question in the chat is it within the scope of the NOFO to utilize funding from Component B and or Component C budgets to fund referrals from non-Component B FXS specialty clinics and or participation on an advisory board to assist with project design and dissemination of recruitment information and project results to the community? These efforts would ensure geographic representation, enhancing the reach to both families and healthcare providers treating these individuals across the country.
So the scope for Component B is really to focus on those three clinics for patients. It will involve, as stated in the NOFO, getting information from the medical record. So it really is the intention of the NOFO that those participants be patients at that clinic. In terms of advisory boards, B and C are really different projects, and potentially advisory boards to discuss dissemination of materials could be within the scope of Component C. Do others have? Okay, yeah.
It's Liz. I put a bunch of questions in there, but I'm not sure you can see them.
Go ahead, Liz. I don't see questions in the chat. You can go ahead and ask them.
Participants. I'm not sure how to put them in the chat, because my computer won't let me type in there.
Okay. You're a little bit faint, Liz. I don't know if you can speak up a little or... But go ahead with your question.
Okay, well, I put them all in. It says replying to external applicants, but it won't let me type anything in the upper part of the chat. So that might just be my computer. I don't know. So Nicole just asked the first question that I had, which is, can a Component B application have a subcontract with a second Fragile X clinic that combines to have the 200 patients?
There are no restrictions on subcontracts.
Okay. I think our second big question is it's in the NOFO, it was very hard to understand where the REDCap database would be created and where it would be housed. Now, from your presentation just now, it sounds like CDC would create the red cap, but will CDC also house the red cap, or should we be including housing the red cap at one or all of the component B sites? Because we really couldn't understand what it was saying we should do about that.
CDC is developing the red cap database, but the awardees will be housing it locally.
And each site is expected to host their own version of it.
So we can't host it at one place and all and then have sections that go off. We just had so much trouble with component C and having slight differences when we tried to host it at the same data dictionary at three different sites. But
CDC will provide support for that.
Okay. All right, we asked about the referrals. I think another question is whether we can use the current Forward March questionnaires and forms, whether there are other specific forms that you have in mind that we would use to transition into the adult population, or, you know, how we're going to create that. I was thinking we would probably need a planning period when the Component B grants first started, because we all want to be collecting the same thing and we want to have the best measures, but it seems impossible for us to figure that out by June 15th. So
we can address that. So CDC has been working already on the data collection instruments so that the appropriate approvals from OMB can be obtained, and so that the red cap database can be ready when funding begins, so that sites are able to hit the ground running.
Are we going to have input into what would be used?
There may be opportunity for refinement. That's something we would discuss with the awardees.
Okay, so in the grant, it doesn't sound like we have to write what exactly we would collect.
No,
that's the questions.
That's correct. There, the subject areas have already been identified and submitted to OMB. That is in public record, and that's also within the NOFO and within this presentation. So the subject areas are already identified.
Yeah.
All of these questionnaires is to streamline and focus the questions and substantially reduce participant burden from prior versions of Forward.
So I'm to conclude we would not be using prior Forward questionnaires.
Correct. That's correct.
So we should not propose to do that.
And we have a couple of questions in the chat. I'll go ahead and start on those, and then we can circle back to any additional questions. So from Nicole, the question is, can a component B application, did I already answer that?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. What does it mean that the activities cannot include research?
I can take that one. So this NOFO is the activities described in it was determined by CDC to be non-research. And that's because they consider it surveillance of a defined population. That means by definition, what the activities that are described in the NOFO, CDC doesn't consider research. Each site that ends up getting awarded, their institution may require them to go through their own research determination, and their institution may determine that they consider it to be research. But as long as it is the act, and that's okay, as long as the activities that are being conducted are considered by CDC not to be research, it's not an issue.
And a follow-up question related to that, David, I think the NOFO says that research is not permitted. Can you explain what is meant by this further?
Basically just kind of what I just said. So everything that's described, including analyzing data, collecting data, all the activities outlined for component B, ANSI, again, are determined by CDC, not to be research. So anything that you would propose that is consistent with what's being requested in the NOFO is not considered by CDC to be research.
The next question in the chat is CDC going to provide the R scripts and support for that? And the answer is yes. CDC is transitioning to using only R and not providing support for SAS. So all support will be provided in R.
Which is free.
And the next question is, will the sites have input into what is in the REDCap database? The REDCap database is being developed based on the draft surveys that have been developed. There will be an opportunity for review and potential revisions that's needed with the grantee, with the recipients.
Particularly, I think, in regard to tracking and things like that.
Another question in the chat. Has CDC decided on what the surveys will be? Applicants may wish to know in order to align the plan.
So I can provide, it does not include the actual questions, but we can provide the Federal Register notice for the questionnaire just to give folks an idea. But it's the types of questions are generally described in the NOFO to the extent that we would expect applicants to know about them for their applications.
The subject areas.
Yeah, the subject areas. Mm-hmm.
Next question in the chat is, will there be opportunity to track longitudinal data from previous forward projects?
I mean, we are not requiring that the funded clinics be previous forward participants, but I don't think there would be anything that would preclude analyses of data over time if one or more of the funded clinics does have data from previous rounds and forward.
The next question in the chat, for component C, the partnership with organizations providing support, does it include medical, psychological, and other clinical organizations?
I don't know that we went into that level.
We did not go into that level of detail, but for component C, the main concern is the ability to disseminate information to families and communities
and clinicians.
So it wouldn't preclude any of those organizations which would be able to provide that reach. If there are other questions, feel free to take yourself off of mute or raise your hand or pop them in the chat. And Seema did mention that all questions that we have received to this point and all questions that we addressed today will be included in the FAQ document that will be posted to the NOFO webpage by close of business on Friday.
I had one more question.
David. Yes, go ahead. Sure.
So the clinical data that resides at the clinics, will those data be entered into REDCap by a person, or is it expected like some sort of extraction of, you know, EMR records is expected? Or I'm just kind of wondering about that. I'm assuming it's just survey material that's entered by the clinic.
Yeah, I can answer that. It's a good question. Yes, it is. It's not a huge amount of clinical data, and it would not require, I mean, I think there would be nothing that would prevent if it was easier for it to be an extraction from the EMR, but knowing that that's actually not that easy, it's not the expectation either.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, this is Liz again. I still can't access the chat. I don't know what's going on. There was a requirement for one product to be produced and disseminated to the stakeholders in, I think it's strategy two, and it could be the publications, brochures, whatever. Is that one per year per site, or is that one per site, or is that one per year? What is that exactly?
It's one per site.
One per site for the whole grant period.
Correct.
Okay.
At a minimum.
Yes.
At a minimum. Okay. And then there are these letters that are required. I'm not sure if they're required. Letters of support, sort of, which say that you need to submit them if you need to have someone help document that you have access to the patients. Are those three letters required? Or if it's obvious that you do have access to the patients, do you not need to do those letters?
By three letters? I think it's like if they have access to
the letters, they're in the attachments.
I think as long as you're a clinic, you should be able to demonstrate that you have access to clinic records. Okay.
And don't need letters.
Then you don't need a letter.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And then we have one more question in the chat. A data management plan is required, as is budgeting for data management. Other than using a CDC-provided database and using CDC-provided R scripts, that elements of data management, I think it's what elements of data management is the CDC asking for from CompE applicants?
Right, page 42 of the NOFO.
Yeah, so other ways you can help describe is by doing like confidentiality training, that you're maintaining a secure server and that only investigators that are associated with Fast Forward have access to those databases. The ability to host REDCap, if your organization does not have an affiliation, then that may have some monetary costs associated with it. You can use SFTP to transfer data securely. Those types of things.
Okay, but not like a whole plan for like how you will continuously monitor the data and sort of, I mean, it's going to be one site at a time, it sounds like. So if you do, you need a plan for how you will query yourself and keep accurately refining the data entry.
I think that would be helpful. Also, as prior iterations of studies have demonstrated, completeness of data can be a problem along the way as studies go on. So addressing that may be a part of the data management plan as well. The next question in the chat is, for budgeting purposes, will each site need to have a data manager and or a statistician? Will each site just be managing the day-to-day upload of data into the REDCap? Will the CDC be managing any part of the data, or is it up to each site? So CDC will be managing the data from each site as it comes together for the final data data set. And the uploads will be occurring on a regular basis. We're anticipating they would be at least monthly to ensure that that data is coming in regularly. There will be the process of cleaning the data before it is uploaded that the sites will be responsible for. The cleaning codes will be provided by CDC. Sites will also be expected to maintain any updates that occur to the database. They'll be expected to maintain the most updated version of the database on their system. So in that sense, a data manager or epidemiologist would be needed at each site in order to do those processes.
And this is described a little bit on page 48, where it says, you know, it needs an actively involved principal investigator, at least 50% effort of a project coordinator or project manager, a qualified clinician to review medical records, and additional staffing for epidemiologic and data management support is anticipated.
And then the next question in the chat is, can data be used for publications, or will it need to wait until a cleaned data set from CDC is available for analysis? Be used in part for a publication. I wouldn't anticipate that there would be any partial data set that would be released during the course of the study. The completed data set would be cleaned and available for analysis shortly after the conclusion of the study. The data question, yeah.
So I'm assuming that the Fragile X, the Fragile X clinics participating and other Fragile X experts will then be allowed to use that data to publish?
Correct. The data will be
just the CDC?
Correct. The data sets from the study will be shared back with the sites after the conclusion of this study. But partial, during the way I was reading Nicole's question was, can the data be used as it's being collected? And that wouldn't be the case. We would wait until the conclusion of the study when the complete data set to distribute back to sites.
Okay. We'll probably have enough to do with the Forward March data set.
Okay.
I think that our institution will definitely consider this research, and we will have to have a consent form and go through an IRB in order to consent patients to provide their data. So I would say
that. That's not a problem.
Okay. And that's something that we'll, for each site, we'll work with each recipient in whatever way is needed by their site. All right, if there are no other questions right now, we can bring this call to an end, but we're open to questions as folks are working on their applications. Any questions that have been answered up until this point or that we've answered on today's call, will be included in the FAQ document that will be posted to the website by the end of the week.
We do have another comment that just in.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
So it's Melissa that asked, you stated that awardees for component C can't be involved in managing or monitoring any part of component B. If the awardee has been involved in the past projects, is there a rule they can play at each site to help? So I guess we can clarify that it's not explicitly that awardees for component C can't have a role in component B, it's that the funding is completely separate. So the activities of component C are completely separate of those for B, but if there were appropriate roles that one of the, you know, if one of the clinics that was going to apply had an applicable role that they could justify and added strength to their application, it wouldn't preclude that. Yeah, like a subcontract or something like that. Does okay. that answer the question?
I have one more question just to make sure that I'm right about this. The NOFO gives outlines, an outline of categories and an order and hierarchy of like sections that we're supposed to put into the grant. That means that we should use that outline and not the traditional AIMS background preliminary data research plan that you would normally put in a grant, correct?
Yes, I would use the format that's specified in the NOFO.
Just clarifying. Okay, thanks.
Are there any further questions?
I have one more question, if that's all right.
Of course.
And then I promise we'll let you go. You referenced that the data from this grant opportunity won't be available to use until the end of the grant period. Is one, am I understanding that correctly?
For the fast forward data will not be available until the end of the grant period. That's correct. We don't anticipate having an interim data set released.
Although, yeah, I mean, it depends when data collection ends.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the work, for the products for each component B site, and then the dissemination activities, educational materials, et cetera, and component C, the data that's going to be used will be passed forward project data.
Yes.
Is that correct?
I would say for component C, it is not limited to forward data. Any good information that is out there, including of course forward, would be up for inclusion.
Right. The primary thrust of component C is really to increase the amount of information that is available to families and providers.
Great, thank you so much.
Okay, so I have a question now about component B products. So those products do not have to be linked to information being gathered in this grant at all. They can be coming from past forward projects or other projects or just something that's going to be informative to the community in one of the areas specified of interest in this grant.
Correct.
In this NOFO.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So it's not linked to what we're doing in the actual data collection.
Yeah, because the data being collected just won't be available.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
We want to make we're trying to support funding for analysis of data, not just data collection.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But we should have plenty from Forward March to work with, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And again, feel free to submit any further questions that you have after today's call to the Forward mailbox. And we will do our best to update that mailbox and post it to the NOFA webpage. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.